Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier sharing with you the Capricorn solstice energy reading for the next season. So the solstice this year occurs on December 21st at 10:59 in the morning Eastern time zone where I am located. I'm actually recording this on Saturday, a few hours before the Gemini full moon. And what I just want to say about the full moon is that it is happening while the sun is at galactic center. So to have a full moon amplifying the energies of the sun at galactic center just brings a whole lot of extra energy into this solstice. And galactic center is a point in our galaxy where there are streams of light coming in. It's creative energy. It is very high vibration energy. And whenever the sun is there, and it is always there this time of year, at this time in history, it's very high vibration that we're absorbing. So to have a full moon at this time just really amplifies it. And this full moon is about communication. You may find that you're having some trouble sleeping right now because the energy is so high and so strong. What else do I want to say? So I'm going to share with you the energies that are dominating the chart of the solstice. And that includes, of course, the sun at galactic center. The moon is in Cancer and it's opposite Venus, which is conjunct Pluto, and Venus is retrograde. So I'm going to spend quite a bit of time talking to you about what this means. The third Uranus and Saturn square happens exactly like a few days after the solstice. So that energy is going to be really amplified this season. And I am going to talk to you briefly about Jupiter moving into Pisces on December 28th and the North Node moving into Taurus in January. I'm going to talk more about those in the Aries equinox in March and also the June solstice, because they're really put a lot of energy around that then. But it's still important to know that a lot of signs are shifting. And a lot of energy is shifting at this time. So it's also important to remember that we are in a collective initiation into a whole new world. Everything that is obstructing the flow of light is coming up to be cleared. We are transforming into a new reality, and it is taking a lot of time. And one thing that I want to share with you that I usually share with you at this time of year is that we are at the major turning of an age. It is bigger than the age of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius lasts 2,600 years. The age that's turning now, the great year, is a 26,000 year cycle. And we are at a place in the cycle where the previous cycle has not yet completely ended and the new cycle has not fully taken root. So we are completing karma, closing out old contracts and agreements, and healing and repairing what has come before. And if you were an intelligent universe, might you consider sending in during a time of major transition, when a planet is shifting into a new dimension, and that this can only happen every 26,000 years on this planet, might you send in some experts? Now, I want to give you some more dates. Is that this shifting time, this turning of the ages time, began in 1962 and continues until 2034. However, if we add sort of a shifting in time and a shifting out time, we actually start in 1926 and it ends in 2070. So we're really not shifted until 2070. So what I would like to say is, might you, if your intelligent universe, especially between the time frame of the early 1960s and 2034, have a group of beings incarnate onto the planet who are experts at supporting planets who are undergoing major, major shifts in consciousness to incarnate and to clear the way, the transition team. So an intelligent universe births spirits on planets that are going through the shift of the ages, which we are. There is no stopping this. This is happening. It's just a matter of how long it takes and how challenging it is. So you are the transition team. Many of you have incarnated into highly dysfunctional family systems with a mission to clear those lines. Your work is vitally important. Your personal healing is vitally important, because in order to clean this place up, we have to clear the patterns of the past that are showing up through family patterns. And the buck stops here. It's like what you're able to heal in yourself will not move forward. And the healing goes backwards and it goes forward through time. And so some people think, oh my God, I incarnated into this really challenging family. I must have horrible karma. That is one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that this was your assignment, your danger, as Carolyn Casey calls it, your dangerous, beautiful assignment. And you were assigned this because you have a skill set and a desire and an ability to truly heal on all levels. And it's just a really different way of looking at this. And it's also a different way of looking at life purpose. So I just wanted to add that in and to just say that these days are full of light. And it's important to enjoy the incoming light coming in, to enjoy the streams of consciousness, stay open to the messages, take some time out of each day to just notice where the sun is, invite the sun to stream in through the top of your head. We can do this together now. And just light your body up, light the trillions of little cells in your body with a beautiful golden light. Lighting your heart, seeing waves of light and feeling liquid sunshine pouring in, warm and luscious, oozing down your neck and shoulders and softening the tension that we often hold there. Soften your back, your belly, your neck. Bring that light into your heart. And then let that light just expand through your whole body effortlessly, letting it radiate through you just like the sun. And taking a few moments also to root yourself down into the earth. Feeling your root systems coming out the base of your spine and the bottoms of your feet. Invite your root system to connect to the root systems of all the trees in your area. I really like to do this. And ask to be invited into the system of nourishment and communication and repair that happens among the trees. They're so smart. If there's a tree that's in need of healing or nourishment or support, the trees send nourishment and support and energy through their root systems to other trees. We have so much to learn from them. So you can ask to be invited into that mutual healing and repair network that the trees offer each other. And just feel that for a moment. And you can also send those roots even deeper into the core of the earth, saying hello to the spirit of the earth who is shining. She is so bright and shining right now. She is really drinking in these galactic energies and expanding. And she is so delighted that you're saying hello, because that just makes her even stronger. What we focus on expands. And just breathe her energy up through the bottoms of your feet and up through the base of your spine. This energy is emerald green, and it is shimmery and sparkly. And this is restorative, loving, nurturing earth. Just see that green energy filling your whole body, turning you green, combining with the gold. So it's like green with golden light. And see yourselves just drinking this in. And see all of your muscles just softening. You're going to hear me talk about riding waves of change and finding ways to connect to your inner stability and connecting to the root systems of the trees, connecting to the spirit of the earth and bringing her energy into your body is a great way to create that inner stability and to just feel the nourishment that is always present. Even when the people in your life are unable to be there for you, because everyone's going through so much right now, we're not always able to be there for each other. There is always support. There is always love. The love of your guides and healers and teachers that are in the invisible realms, the archangels, the spirit of the earth, the elements, the trees. When I'm walking in the woods, I often ask if I can feel the trees. And I often will say, and you can feel me too. And I can really feel a penetrating consciousness that is soft and lovely. And when I connect my own energy into the trees, it's really blissful and stabilizing no matter what I'm going through. And sometimes I live near a creek. I listen to the water and I just imagine that water washing through me and just clearing what needs to be cleared. So we can work with the elements with our healing. And when it's really windy, we can imagine that the winds are just, you know, helping us let go of what we need to let go of. Just a few examples of, so during this time of the equinox, of the solstice, that's when the sun moves into 0 degrees Capricorn. And when the sun is in 0 degrees Capricorn this year, we also have Venus in Capricorn, right with Pluto, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, and Mercury in Capricorn. And Mercury is trining Uranus. And so what that means is, again, we've got this full moon in Gemini a few days before the solstice, which the energy carries into the solstice. And Gemini is all about communication. And then we have Mercury, how we communicate, trining Uranus, which indicates sudden, sudden intuitive flashes, awarenesses, breakthroughs, unexpected openings and opportunities, and hidden information that comes to light, things that just come into the collective field. And this is going to be with us throughout the season. Unpredictable revelations. Things, learning about things that wake us up. And having that communicated. And so there's a lot going on in 3D reality. that we're going to be hearing about over the next season. And, but it's also about being aware of what you've hidden from yourself, what you've been unconscious about that needs to come to light so it can be composted and digested and transformed, or that action can take place. So I want to start by talking about Venus right now. A lot of people have been asking me, can you please talk about Venus retrograde conjunct Pluto? Yes. So at the time of the solstice, Venus is opposite the moon. Pluto is opposite the moon, and Venus is retrograde. And all of this is squared by the dwarf planet Eris. So what does this mean? Whew. Well, Venus is about relationships, love, money, creativity. Venus is about what we value. It is about what we are attracted to. Venus wants to connect. She wants to love. She wants to collaborate, be sensual, socialize, feel pleasure and comfort. And with Venus in retrograde and conjunct Pluto, that is challenging to find right now. It is harder to find this externally. When Pluto is conjunct Venus, it opens the gateway for a lot of emotional intensity, depth, and clearing. And when Venus is retrograde, it's really a time to go in, to slow down, and to review our relationships, including our relationship to ourselves, to review our relationship to the feminine and how she flows in our lives and within us, regardless of our gender identification, and to review our values. So much has changed over the past couple of years. We are not the same people. And so a lot of change needs to happen. What we value is changing. So when Venus is in retrograde, we are releasing and removing. We're revisiting, reviewing, reconsidering. And sometimes we're repairing and restoring and regenerating. Sometimes we're remodeling something old. So it's also a time with Pluto conjunct Venus and all this Uranian energy that I'm going to talk about next. It's a time for us to release our reliance on externals for our stability. It's time to let go of the training wheels around that and to find our inner stability in the midst of constant waves of change. And it's about building resiliency. We've been doing this for a while and we need to keep doing it. It's also a time to get clear. Is this what I still want in my life? Is this what I still value in my life? Do your values match how you're living your life? Who do you want to make deeper connections with or deeper commitments to? Or what kind of work do you want to make deeper commitments to? And what do you want to let go of? What doesn't fit anymore? There's lots of clearing. Pluto is about mining the depths. It is often about the acute perception of what is missing and involves a lot of emotional intensity. Pluto shows us what has been hidden. It's usually exhausting. And you're probably like, oh, come on, more? Yes, this is a seasonal energy. We have all been dealing with disappointments and delays, just the pandemic, the loneliness of the pandemic, and wondering when this will end, for one thing. And at the same time, Venus is desiring community, coming together with like-minded people. And so here we are hearing all about this new variant and lockdowns. And there's a lot of anger and dread and heartbreak and loneliness and isolation. A lot of feelings coming up about this. There's also a lot of feelings about how much you have all been healing and clearing and raising your frequency and healing and clearing and raising your frequency some more and wanting to see manifestations in the physical world of all of this work and joy. Because, and I want to just, it just somehow, it reminds me of the story of when the Jews left Egypt and how they wandered for 40 years in the desert. And I looked up, how far is Jerusalem from Cairo? It's only 461 miles. And if you walked 20 miles a day, it would only take you 23 days, which is less than a month, to get from Cairo to Jerusalem, which, and if you slowed it down even more, maybe it would take you a month, maybe it would take you 40 days, not 40 years. So what happened? What happened is, the story goes, is that there was a lot of bickering, a lot of arguing, a lot of blaming, a lot of not trusting. And they walked in circles for 40 years. And they had several generations wandering in the desert before they could enter the promised land. And that kind of makes me think about now. It's like, well, this could happen sooner. The energy's here. The energy is here. The earth's energy is rising. It is measurable. The frequency among the population in general is rising. It is working and it is unstoppable. It's just a matter of, does it take, does it take 40 years of wandering in the desert because we can't agree on how to implement change to make life, to make this a thriving place for everyone? Or does it take a shorter period of time? It's really about the will. So I want to talk about Capricorn. Venus in Capricorn wants to be honored and respected. She is earthy. She is practical. She is industrious. She is a master. She knows how to get results. She knows how to focus, and she takes responsibility and gets the job done. She has an earthy sensuality, but she tends to be overly responsible for other people and has a really hard time receiving. So with Pluto conjunct Venus in Capricorn, we can kind of see that some of the patterns that we're letting go of is being patterns of being in relationships with others that cannot be relied on. Almost too much emphasis on self-reliance and an inability to receive from others and the need to shift that and release patterns of being attracted to people that you can't count on. And releasing patterns of being overly responsible for other people or thinking that it is your job and your job alone to save the world. We are all drops of water in a bucket, and the bucket is overflowing. There are millions and millions of people who are anchoring in, who are anchors for light and frequency, who have been healing and clearing and anchoring in for decades. And then there are the babies coming in that are already the energy that is needed in the future. So with Venus conjunct Pluto, there are deep undercurrents. This energy reveals things that have been hidden and often is involved with the acute perception of what is missing in our lives and feeling at a loss. It brings things up and out of the shadow so that they can be transformed and released. Pluto strips away. It helps us shed and slough off the old so that we can step into the new. And it is challenging. So we're all different than we were 2 years ago, and we're learning how to be different versions of ourselves. And we're learning what's working now and what doesn't work, what may have worked for us several years ago and doesn't work now. This Capricorn energy is practical and it asks questions. How can you trust your inner authority and authenticity? And if not, what are you going to do about it? Can you manage your energy as we continue to ride intense emotional waves and uncertainty? Can you claim your stability in the midst of instability? Can you figure out how to steer your ship in the wild seas? No one else can figure this out for you. You can join with others and you can support each other, but ultimately, you have to find a way to maintain stability in your own energy field and connect with your inner wisdom and let it guide you and find ways to discern what is the voice of my wisdom and what is the voice of my monkey mind or my fear and who's going to steer the ship. Because Venus cycle is also asking us, what do we value now? Our values are changing. We're shedding light on the dark places. We are seeing what has been in our unconscious. We are releasing where the feminine has been held back from claiming her authority and her wisdom and her presence in the world. And this has been going on for thousands of years. We're clearing not just our own childhoods, although many people, their childhoods reflect what has happened in the past and what you're still carrying to be cleared most of the time. But there's something even larger than that. Patterns that have held back. And it really, I'm not talking about male and female. I'm talking about the divine feminine and what has happened over the past several thousand years and how she is coming back to claim her authority, her wisdom, and her presence in our world and to weave herself into the fabric of our lives and through our institutions. And that is a reflection of Venus in Capricorn. Our world does not spin at the speed of the feminine. It isn't spinning in a spiraling and circular manner. But our energy and our inner life increasingly is. And so as the light continues to expand our frequency, we increasingly feel that the way the world is or the way our lives is, isn't mashing up. And we need to stabilize ourselves so that we can make those concrete changes. And this is all Capricorn, Capricorn, Capricorn. So I want to just tell you about the geography of the sacred geography of place. In Europe, villages were circular. When I was hiking in Spain on the Camino, we passed some Celtic villages and there the houses were round and there was like a round house in the center and then round houses around it and everything was built in a spiraling and circular manner. And when the Romans came through, one of the things that they did was they changed the geography so that the streets were lined up in 90 degree angles because they understood that 90 degree angles creates separation and therefore people are easier to control and dominate, whereas the circles create connection and community. And so, you know, another question is how can we create spirals of connection and circles of community in our lives, but also in our own psyches? You know, when I do an astrology reading, I'm sharing with you your inner creation team. There are many archetypes that you're working with, and how can they work together to support each other? So again, Venus retrograde conjunct Pluto is seeking to strip away what you have not yet seen, so that you can find more steadiness within yourself and your relationships and gain more clarity about what you value and what you want to be committed to in your life and how you value and care for yourself. It is about clearly seeing the predicaments that you are in and that we are in collectively together. Seeing the hidden truths and showing where repair or release is needed. Now, when Venus is retrograde, she is about to actually open up to a new star point, which is a new Venus cycle, which is a 580-day cycle. And this new cycle, so I want you to think about a five-pointed star. When Venus starts a new cycle, it is one of the points on that five-pointed star, that pentagram was basically a diagram of how Venus moves in the sky. And so she's taking her place on a new point, a new star point. And it is the place of Venus in Capricorn. And over the next 580 days, we're going to be evolving this energy, which is the energy of weaving the feminine into our culture, in tangible, practical ways, or at least it is the invitation to do so. Again, are we going to wander for 40 years in the desert, bickering and arguing and not trusting? Or are we going to use this information to ask, how can I make a contribution to weaving the feminine into my own life in practical and tangible ways? These are the energies of, or the qualities of reliability, sustainability, earthiness. It's inviting in responsibility, being masterful, weaving in the values of cooperation, slowing down, figuring it out. How is this going to work? How is this going to work for the most amount of people and getting it done? It is about owning your self-mastery. And so I have a question, which is, what stands in the way of you owning your inner authority? And what part of you knows and really has true wisdom, but hasn't been fully heard by you? And how do you manage your own energy in these wild times? How do you steady your rudder because the waters are not going to be getting calmer anytime soon? So again, Venus in retrograde, it's about going within. It means that we're not really able to rely so much on outer. And you could see that it is a time that people really want to get together. It is the holidays. And we have these new variants, and there's a lot of fear. You may not be afraid, but collectively, there are waves of fear and anxiety and anger and disagreement over actual reality, and not knowing what to do, and borders closing, and disappointment, and can't take that trip, or will take that trip but might risk getting sick, or deny the fact, you know this, at a time when what we're wanting is connection so badly. So feelings come up, and your challenge is to stay present, to contact that steady, stable part of you that can just hold space for all the emotion. And don't judge it, because it's moving. It's moving something that needs to move. So I also want to say just briefly that in January, the nodes of the moon are moving into Taurus and Scorpio. The north node of the moon is moving into Taurus. And another way of saying that is the north node of the moon is moving into Venus, is moving into the divine feminine. The north node is our collective destiny. And the south node in Scorpio is about letting go of secrets and letting go of old energies that have held us back from accessing the wisdom of the divine feminine and bringing it into the culture. And Taurus is about stable connection, embodiment, persistent. It is about beauty. Taurus craves pleasure. Taurus is feminine wisdom. Taurus is the pleasure access. It's about sexual healing and reconnection to our bodies, to Eros, and to manifestation. Taurus has to do with what we value, and what we value is changing. Taurus is about knowing what you need and committing to taking good care of yourself and others, even when you feel disappointed or even when you feel lonely, making that commitment to be there for yourself. So another big aspect that is happening right around the solstice is the third exact square of the planet Saturn and Uranus, which is going to happen December 23rd and 24th. It's going to be the last time they contact each other exactly, but they're going to be traveling in a square all year pretty close. They're going to be still having a conversation, though may not be as intense. And then in October, they're going to get close enough to whisper to each other and hear each other. But this is the last exact square. Squares are like having to hear completely different sides of an argument. And I wanted to say that there is a book called The Archetypal Universe, Astrological Patterns in Human Culture, Thought, Emotion, and Dreams by Ren Butler. And Benjamin Burstein summarized some of this book in a beautiful way. And I'm just going to share what he shared. When these energies are balanced, so Uranus is about innovation and change and being cutting edge and disrupting, you know, disruptive technologies, disruptive truths, disruptive weather patterns, intuitive flashes, electrical surges, solar flares, sudden changes, awakenings, spiritual awakenings, but also rude awakenings, like, oh boy, a tornado just blew my town down. That is a rude awakening. That is Uranian, as well as evolution. Saturn is about maturation, responsibility, commitment, creating healthy boundaries. It is about growing through challenges and obstacles and rising to meet them. It is about hard work paying off. Some people call Saturn the cosmic speed bump. When these two have a conversation with each other, it is often about the old versus the new, the conservative versus the progressive, the status quo versus the desire for change. It is a dynamic conversation. And when they are squaring, it means that the radical revolutionary change is slowed down. Saturn can show up as being fearful, resistant to change, repressive. It can be about lockdowns, boundaries, you know, shutting things down, not being able to cross borders, and slowing down change in a way that is just resistance, fearful resistance. But Saturn can also be that voice of, okay, you have this wild idea that can change the world. Show me your business plan. Show me how you're going to make it work. What are the responsible steps to take? So Saturn isn't all bad. Saturn is asking Uranus, which can sometimes be overly rebellious and explosive and impatient and extremist or reckless, or blowing things up before you have a plan of what you're going to do, or making a change, like I'm going to move to southern, you know, South Africa or southern France or wherever you want to go without a plan. And Saturn's like, let's get a plan. Let's rent a house. Let's see if we can make friends first. But when they flow together in a healthy way, you get responsible, balanced freedom, thoughtful change and innovation that finds ways to work, hard-won liberation, conscious, deliberate freeing yourself from old patterns, being very experimental and having spiritual epiphanies or spiritual awakenings that translate into action in our lives. So really, when there's a really healthy conversation, the synthesis of these energies can really create lasting changes that can work. What we've been seeing in the past year is a lot of fear and resistance to change. Saturn's been highlighted, but this next year, Uranus is going to be stronger. And so there'll be a little bit more of a feeling of shifts and rebirths and breakthroughs and unexpected opportunities and openings and inspiration and creativity and energetic changes and innovation. And, you know, some of these changes you might like and some of these changes you might not like. I mean, there is no turning back the tide on rapid, rapid changes in technology. And sometimes it's really hard to keep up with energetically. And sometimes we don't like it. So that square is going to dominate the year 2022, but it's very, very strong in this next season, winter. And hopefully we'll start seeing some changes, but you know, you can see, how do you even define freedom? Some people define freedom as the freedom to not have a vaccine and to not wear a mask and to go where they want to go. And some people define freedom as freedom from an epidemic where people, you know, choose for the greater good to get vaccinated, to wear a mask and to be responsible, you know, so we can't even agree on what freedom means right now. But what we do know is that historically, times like this do birth this balanced, responsible freedom, change, innovation that can go into systems that have been really resistant to change and bring some change in, changes that will work. So there's that. And sometimes this can feel, certainly there's high frequencies of light that come in Uranus and Saturn squares coming in through Uranus. And that light that comes in breaks up the old crusty energy, the old order, and creates chaos. So it is associated with chaos. And it is interesting that when we've had all, you know, this Saturn square Uranus, it really has been, you know, when we've seen surges or lockdowns or this challenge between freedom and control. And Uranus is all about grassroots up. And it's about the energy of the grassroots having more power than a top-down way of living life. And so that is what we are being invited to bring through. The other thing that's happening, so at this time, is that as Venus is going retrograde and inward, Chiron, the healer and the mentor, is going direct in Aries. So since May of 2020, Chiron has been going back and forth over the same point, back and forth at 8 degrees Aries. And I looked up the Sabian symbol for 8 degrees Aries, and it's a woman's hat with streamers is blown by an east wind. And it says, believe and then you will be. And then it says, there are messages coming to you from beyond. Your progress is supported by spirit and spiritual teachings. This is a time of being blown off course and having a change of opinions and directions in your life. The soul is continually challenging you to adjust to any outside interference or external forces. Sudden shifts of insight and consciousness are helpful for a new approach, but it is not about leaving the path you're on. Your deeper wisdom guides you back to your center. Be aware of where the winds are blowing you, so as not to put yourself off course from your soul's journey. I thought that was very interesting, given that that is exactly what the energy of the solstice is about. So Chiron in Aries is also about the courage to really be yourself, to lead yourself into new territory, to trust your inner voice, to polish the light in your heart, and your ability to initiate changes that are needed for your own coherence. Coherence is having the life that you're living, the choices that you're making, be aligned to your values and embracing who you are. And Chiron is about healing. It is about digesting and assimilating our deepest fracture points and wounds, our traumas, and moving past the effects that they have had on us, so that we can bring our medicine into our, the medicine of having healed that into our lives, because all of our wounds have the potential to turn into our medicine. We know that. Who would ever want to go to a therapist who's working with you on healing your trauma, who has not had a lot of trauma that they themselves have needed to heal, so they know the path and they have compassion? Chiron is about building compassion. So it is in this time. So think about this solstice as a big pot of soup. And in the soup has gone all of the energies that I've just talked about. And now we're plopping in Chiron, which is about healing and teaching others what we've learned and emerging out of the past 18 months and asking, where's the wisdom? Where's the medicine? And in fact, there's a lot of healing coming out about how do we work with this pandemic? You know, I actually, a friend of mine just sent me something from the Jungian analyst about creating through our dream life and our visualizations, a way to tell our body to build immunity to the virus. You know, that could be in addition or not of taking a vaccination, but it's like an imaginal vaccination. It's very creative. We need all the help we can get. And we also know that there are herbs and supplements and medicines that are coming forth to teach us how to deal with this. And our bodies are learning how to deal with this more and more and more. We're coming out of this time, we've learned something, but we're also dealing with the new variants and things that we haven't seen before and needing to adjust. And so that's that learning how to steady that rudder in times of change. And it isn't just the epidemic that we're dealing with. We're dealing with an insurrection and really different opinions about it. And we're dealing with this Ghislaine Maxwell's trial, and hearing publicly from women who've been abused and how women can actually act as an aspect of the patriarchy that abuses other women, and that we're really done with women being pawns in a game and sexual slavery. And it's coming out into the consciousness. And also we're having these trials from January 6th in the commission. It's going to be public. It's over the next few months. It's going to be public, and there's going to be betrayals, and there's going to be things that we're learning. And some of us will be shocked. Some of us will be like, yeah, I knew that. And some people won't care. And that's also shocking. So one more piece of the ingredient of the soup that I want to talk about is that Jupiter is going to move into Pisces on the 28th of December. And so that's going to be present in this season. And it's going to stay in Pisces until May, when Jupiter is going to shift into Aries, but then it's going to move back into Pisces in autumn. So what is, and I'm going to talk a lot more about this in the Aries equinox in March, but I just want to share a little bit now. Jupiter likes to be in Pisces. Jupiter is a teacher. It's the teacher for the year. It's the year star. And when Jupiter moves into Pisces, pretty happy. Because Jupiter likes to teach about how to elevate your consciousness, how to access more love and kindness and compassion, how to explore your spirituality and your creativity and your imagination. Jupiter in Pisces is a very high vibrational energy. It helps us to see possibilities. It helps expand our sense of faith and wonder. It heightens our intuition. It expands our inner life. It helps us access blissful states and connection and healing and forgiveness and kindness. That's what Pisces is about. It is about connection with our inner divinity. It is associated with spiritual pilgrimages and dissolving barriers to conscious forward evolution. Jupiter in Pisces is about dreaming big, connection to the multidimensional world, and loving kindness. However, there is a shadow side to everything. This can also create a lot of fear and confusion, because sometimes, a lot of the times, a lot of us, our old self, does not like to dissolve boundaries, does not like to dissolve into expanded states of consciousness where we're in new territory. But also this can, Jupiter and Pisces can also expand confusion, overextension, over-optimism. You know, it's like, everything's great, all is well, we're birthing a new world. Yeah, well, while you're singing that song, if you walk into the street with cars coming, you're going to get hit by a car. So it's like, you know, it's important to focus on how do you want to use this energy and stay grounded. Expand, 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 expand into your heart, expand into kindness, expand into creativity and your imagination, expand your intuition, but stay rooted. Stay grounded and don't choose too many projects all at once, or you'll dissipate your energies. Jupiter in Pisces is all about really looking at, how do we pull together? How do we move beyond my side, your side? And how do we move towards, we're in this together, and how do we move forward? How do we envision a world that we want to live in together? So there's a lot happening, a lot of ingredients. There's a lot of waves of light and love and expansion. And there's also this dynamic tension between the past and what's coming in and wanting to move forward and having a lot of disruptions and delays, having a lot of new energy coming in and needing to figure out how to bring it into your life. And then this Plutonian energy with the feminine of really grieving. What has been suppressed in the feminine, and also grieving the loneliness and the isolation that we're in right now. And really it is making space for creating more of what you want. The other little piece I want to talk about is that my friend Kaylin Castell talks about on January 1st at 7:30 at night, no matter where you live, the star Sirius, the planet Sirius, rises over the horizon. And at midnight, it is directly overhead. It is the brightest star in the night sky. And it is about its inspiring and awakening energy to higher wisdom. It is high heart energy, high healing energy from our star brothers and sisters on the planet Sirius that have already gone through their own turning of an age and have come out the other side into a very highly evolved consciousness and civilization, and they are lending their support. And so it's just really nice if you can, in the evening on January 1st, January 31st and midnight, January 1st, to look up at the night sky and to see that bright, bright star above the horizon. So I hope this was helpful, and I will speak to you again in the spring.